Hey there, welcome to Bound Together. We are two friends and two self-published authors who took different paths in life, but kept in touch and kept on writing. My name is Sarah Gray and I chose a corporate career while Laura Catherine went full on family. This is all about how we approach writing in our two different worlds, the struggles, the positives, and how we keep the writing flames alive.
Good morning, afternoon, whatever time it is.
Hello, welcome.
It's technically afternoon for me now. So good afternoon, Sarah.
It's afternoon for me too. We're not that. Oh, wait.
It literally just turned after me.
I am ahead of you.
You are. It's been afternoon for a while for you. Just became my afternoon. How are you? How's it going?
I'm good. I'm super pumped to talk about this topic.
Yeah, you
no
picked
idea
this
how
one.
It's going to go.
You picked this.
Did I?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did.
Listen, if it goes well, I'm going to claim that. And if not, I'm going to be like, oh, I don't think I did that. No, I don't know where that came from. It must have been a misprint or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll see. We'll see. I was definitely you because I've got no clue. I'm going off what you're
good to
your
see we didn't
is.
Research this. Yep. We're just going off like memory of
yeah, experience.
20
don't need to research.
Years ago?
I lived through the golden age
Yeah.
of YA. Which is the thing that we're talking about. Surprise.
So that is the title. We're going to talk about the golden age of YA. So we met at TAFE. We met when we were both writing young adult fiction.
Yes.
Reading young adult fiction.
Living young
and I feel
adult
like
fiction.
Yeah. And living through this like really cool thing that was happening with YA fiction at the time. We were actually young adults then reading young adult fiction. Now we're just adults reading and writing young adult fiction.
It's fine.
But I feel like when I think back to it, there were some really cool moments and some really cool books and a lot of books that don't hold up today that are like very problematic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I also remember about this golden age, which when you think about it, there were less ebooks around back then.
Borders was still open.
Yeah, slower publishing.
Slower publishing.
I worked for a bookstore at some point that was still open.
There were lots
but there
more
were
brick and mortar bookstores, and that was like how you got your books.
Yeah.
Borders in particular. I remember going to Chadston all the time.
Yeah. And I particularly remember release dates for books that you would have to like go to a store really early. I remember this about Harry Potter.
Yes, I did this for Harry Potter for
That
like 3 years.
You go to
in a
Big
row.
W because that's the cheapest place in Australia to buy it, and you had to wait like you got there early, wait for the doors to open, go in and get your copy because you know you've literally been waiting to see what happens in this book.
And you have to
those are good
pre-order
times.
It so you like wouldn't miss out.
Yeah.
Especially popular books, especially Harry Potter. I remember being in a line for Borders 2 or 3 years in a row, and that line like snaking between all of the bookshelves, like through the entire store, because there were just hundreds of people, and people were like dressed up in Harry Potter like cloaks and costumes. And everyone was just like dying to get to the latest copy of Harry Potter. That's what we lived
So
through.
that was a golden age. I remember about this time, there seemed to be like a couple of distinct themes that we shifted through. I'm not sure of the order exactly. But
there are certain
dystopia,
things.
dystopia was a big one. So the world is ending, zombie apocalypse.
I still love dystopia.
But I feel like it just became so huge at that time. We also did a short specific phase on angels, like fallen angels.
Yeah, which
And it
was
was kind of
very much
cycling.
led by Cassandra Clare.
Yeah, and it was kind of cycling through the different creatures. So like vampires, werewolves, fallen angels.
Fairies.
I'm pretty sure we did zombies as well.
Yep, zombies were
Fairies
part of the
were a big one.
dystopian.
Yeah.
Oh, I love all those things.
And it was a really fun time because those were actually like quite, well, short, maybe like a year or so. But you get into like a specific thing and they'd be you know, 3 or 4 books coming out on this, on like vampires. And then do you remember the troll one?
Troll one? No.
Yeah. So what was her name? I think this was the first big young adult success of a self-published author. Remember Amanda Hocking?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh,
with the
yes.
Switched trilogy.
Yes. So she, I actually haven't and read she it.
And she did a vampire one before that.
Yeah.
And it's really long. And I don't think she finished the last book. So I understand it, girl, because sometimes you can't finish your last book for 10 years. And it just happens. But
Amanda Hocking is like peak. Like, she took advantage of that golden age. Like, she had the vampire book. She had a zombie book. She had a trolls book. Like, she just capitalized. Like, she knew what the genre that everyone wanted was, and she self-published them. And that's why she became so popular during that era.
Yeah. And then eventually her books got picked up. Traditionally published. I know she's got loads of different series out as well. Yeah.
And although she does both now.
Yeah, I don't still hear about her as much.
Yeah, I follow her on Instagram. She still traditionally publishes, but she's found that there are some books they won't take. So she started doing indie publishing again as well. So she's now a hybrid author because she does both.
That's interesting. Good for her. I remember her blog. Like, the other thing was the authors would have blogs where they would put their opinions out there as well. It's such a beautiful time.
I loved her. Like, she was like the first indie success story that I'd like really experienced. And it gave me so much hope for myself that like, oh, someone actually made it. Like, I could do that.
Yeah. And I think her books were just short, fun, you know, not terribly written. Actually, can't I would have to check that again.
Yeah.
But I feel like they were quite simple and just easy to read.
Yeah, definitely easy to read. I loved her zombie one, which I think was
and not particularly polarizing. Like,
yeah, which was a duology, HoloLand and Hollows something else.
Oh my god, I remember that. Yes,
absolutely loved the first one. I hated the second one.
Yeah,
like she should have just finished it.
Do you ever, with the books, like, you know how we read them in the golden age, we love them, and I still kind of carry that. I think, oh, yeah, that book was amazing. Have you read any of them now? Have you changed your mind on any of them?
I haven't really read any of them since.
Yeah.
But, like, recently, I guess there's been, like, movies and stuff about, like Hunger Games, for example, dystopian.
Yeah.
Loved the first one, loved the second one, hated the third one.
Yeah.
Lyle, my husband, recently rewatched all the movies, and I saw like bits of them as he was watching them, and I was just like, these don't really hold up.
I feel like potentially we were all very traumatized by some of these young adult books as well. I think some of them are a little bit problematic now. And I think if you go back to the 2000s, maybe early 2000s, mid-2000s, is this what? Somewhere around there. I think the one that I would call out is potentially Vampire Diaries and the teacher-student relationship that we back then thought, like, as a young adult, you were like, that's completely fine. In fact, that's really cool. And now the TV series that came out recently, I watched it and I was just like, oh, it's not okay. It's not, you can't ship them. He's an adult. She's a teenager.
Yep.
What were we thinking?
Everyone likes an older person, right? I don't know. Yeah.
That's the weirdest thing.
It's just like, yeah, there's some weird themes, I guess, that went through YA books in that era of just like, yeah, like dating, age gap dating was fine. Like City of Bones had potential incest Larry and Jace thought they were siblings for a long time. Also, there may be spoilers, but like you've had ages to read these books.
Well, yeah, don't come for us. But that's true because I mean, she made people think that it was an incest situation as soon as they found out that they were probably brother and sister.
They still could not take their hands off each other.
Continued to, like, yeah, lust for each other. What were they teaching us back then?
To be fair.
Don't get me started on Twilight.
So to be fair, like, that part was bad, but I also commend City of Bones for being very queer diverse.
Yeah.
Like, that was not something that was in a lot of books at all, especially during that time. And I feel like Cassandra Clare was, like, one of the first authors that I read that was incorporating people who were queer in their stories.
City of Bones was such a big book back then, and that series. Mm. I quite like the movie and the TV series that came out recently, but obviously there's some other problematic stuff with the author, which I don't know enough about to be able to talk about, but back then she was just so big, wasn't she?
Yeah, huge. Very, very big.
I read a book in the golden age of Twilight. The golden age of young adult. No, I don't know if you read this one, but Neil Schusterman was quite big. I don't know if he's quite big now. His books are still around. There's one called Unwind, which I can still picture to this day, and I'm definitely going to spoil this for you.
It's fine. So I've had my time to read it.
It's a dystopian one. And I'm not going to remember all of the details, but the main character is kind of, if you're not useful to the society, they put you in this place where you're essentially waiting around to have your unwinding day. And they talk really positively about unwinding your unwinding day. And everyone is really excited and they feel really proud and, you know, want to get there. I think there's something to do with, there's other things that are going on. But the part that I really remember was when one of the characters, I think it was the main character or one of the mainish characters, got to unwind a day, and we went through the process, and unwinding was literally so traumatized. A surgical procedure while they're awake, removing their body parts.
What?
To sell them.
And I have never heard of this.
And they go through this, but it's the person's point of view who's having the thing done. They're still awake. I think they've got painkillers. One by one, and they're like praising this person for like having the body parts taken, and they go off to like rich people essentially. So, like, it was an incredible book, and I don't know how I'd feel about it now, but I felt like it was pretty well written back then. That stayed with me for the entire time. I just had that image.
That's terrifying. That doesn't seem like a very YA kind of book.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Like, if you think about it, some of these books have really, like, confronting topics in them that didn't seem like it seemed like it was appropriate to talk about then. And they're probably making some sort of commentary on society.
Yeah.
And the class differences and stuff. But did we need to be reading about that? I'm not saying it's a bad book. I'm just saying, as a young person, I will never forget that.
Yeah, I think you remember the things that are bad, like traumatizing, the most, I think, from books. Like, I think about the Divergent series. I hated the third book because, you know, spoiler, they kill the main character.
Yes.
Hey, like, that's it. Outrageous. Like, I can just remember that scene and just being completely outraged by it. Same
I hated that
Hunger
book.
Games in the third book when Prim died. Spoiler again. And especially because I also hated the way that was written, because it was not obvious that she had been killed, and I was very confused, and then I was very outraged.
Yeah. There were a lot of main character deaths then that we didn't need to go through. The Divergent one was quite a shock, and I feel like probably the first main character that died for that time. Mm. So I think it was quite
It was very controversial. But, I remember.
But I didn't like it. I loved that book up until that point, but and then it just kind of didn't make any sense after that. I'm also thinking of the movie, the final movies that went straight to DVD. Didn't quite make sense.
I think
sense.
I ever watched the last one. I think I watched
part you
one,
have to. Oh, the CGI is so bad. It's incredible.
Not selling
is
it.
This scene, I feel like this is the last one or the second to last one where they're in bubbles and it's all like, it's ridiculous. Oh, go look up the picture. It's incredible.
Maze
I was going to say,
is another dystopian one that I remember reading.
Which one?
Maze Runner by James Dasher, I think. Something like that.
I think they turned that into the movie too, but...
Yeah, that was also a series of movies. Again, really, I really liked the first one and the second one, but I'm not... Like, I don't think I hated the end ones, but... Because
Is that... That's the one that had one woman in it?
Yeah, and it was her his love interest, and then she was, like, evil. She, like, sided with the bad dudes and, like, betrayed him.
Yeah.
So much heartbreak.
Because that happened a lot, too. I would say that a lot of the young adult stuff was probably directed at women.
Yeah.
And I feel like that one was a very male-orientated one. It could be just because I
it had a male protagonist. Like, you think about Vampire Diaries, Hunger Games.
Yeah, not a lot had, yeah.
They all had female ones. That's because women read more than men, according to publishers, I guess.
I was like, where'd you get that stat from, man? I mean, it's just
the golden age of YA.
I was going to say, have you seen The Selection? Or have you read the book, Selection? I'm pretty sure they did a movie or a TV series.
I have not. I have seen it, but I haven't.
It's that one with that, like, the cover was amazing. The cover is so pretty. It's, like, all blue, and it's, like, a girl in a blue ball gown.
Yeah, I remember.
And I remember everybody, like, just that was the most amazing cover they'd ever seen. But the book was, like, it was quite problematic. So it was, like, a royal family situation, which also happened quite a lot.
Yeah.
It was a royal family situation. The young prince had to find a wife, and they go into this ballot to find him a wife. And so there's like 10 girls or something, and he's getting to know them kind of like a reality TV show, but not. And then it's like, which one's going to get picked? And then obviously you have your main female protagonist who's like not like the other girls, which was another
like the other girls. They're
not like the other girls. I feel like it's changed to be like more of a feeling like, yeah, we are just like every other girl, and that's good. But I remember reading that one and being like, it's just a man picking from like 11 women, and like they're arguably like regular people, so some of them are poor, and for some of them it like is their livelihood, and it's like a pageant. I mean, obviously the main character didn't want a bar of him, you know. She didn't care about him. Ooh, gross, whatever. This is the worst retelling of it.
Men are gross.
And because she doesn't and because she's not interested in him, he becomes deeply interested in her. Mm-hmm. And I mean, because
she's not like the other girls.
Exactly. Terrible themes, brilliant cover. But it's, you know.
Oh my gosh. No, I didn't read it. It is a cover I've seen. I wasn't into those kind of ones. I was very much into like dystopian, vampire, those kind of things.
Yeah, there's a couple of other vampire-y zombie ones that I can't quite remember the name of. Which is not helpful, so I don't know why I told you that.
They all mesh in my head as well, because they're all similar. Like, it's all like a male vampire, and there's like a female who's probably human, and she like either gets bitten by the vampire, or he's like trying to stop her from turning into a vampire. It's just like they all have the same story, and so you're just reading the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, definitely same themes.
Same with dystopian as well, like in the dystopian worlds, it's like there's a government and everyone thinks that the world is perfect and it's a utopia, but it's actually a dystopia and everything's
so
wrong.
much. Yeah. And then the thing that I hate the most is that it's always that female protagonist who is a teenager, probably 16, who is suddenly in charge of this war and of winning the war and has to become a warrior. And are you telling me that there's no adults around
that could do the job?
Yeah, they could do the job. Like, and then, what was happening before this kid who has no experience? It's like they're just like, you're the chosen one.
They train for 2 weeks and suddenly they are the best fighter ever and like the most capable person in the world.
And they go from like so incapable, like their Bella Swan falling over all the time, to they all win the war, don't they?
Well, that's like, that's like the appeal of YA. When you are a child, when you are a teenager, you're getting to see these people who are like given responsibility and taking charge and being special. All the things you're not as a teenager, because you're being told what to do.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of the themes are like coming of age. So stepping out of your comfort zone and becoming something else, and usually growing up or dealing with difficult themes and stuff like that. So I suppose I read a lot of books and I actually think they were quite interesting and quite helpful back then. One of my favorite ones was the Tomorrow When the War Began series by John Marsden.
I love it.
It's an Australian book where Australia is invaded and a group of teenagers who, some of them are friends and some of them are sort of friends, have gone out camping in the Australian bush. And whilst they do that, Australia's invaded and taken over, and they live out in the bush, and then they, you know,
like a guerrilla warfare tactics,
pretty much
take on stuff. That series gets very dark as it goes on as well. Like,
yeah,
gets very into it's what very... it would be like if you were a child in war.
Yeah, exactly. Traumatized. Yeah. I feel like it was quite well written, though. I feel like
I remember
that
it being really good.
Would probably stand up to the culture test of 2024.
Yeah, maybe. Probably.
Maybe. We'll put it in the maybe pile.
Was there was a bit of potential racism because she was in love with like the Asian guy, but they were invaded by an Asian people, and so she like stopped trusting him.
Did that happen?
I think so. I think she got traumatized and so she stopped trusting him because he was also Asian.
Yeah,
potentially.
I didn't know that, but that's absolutely possible. Yeah.
Yes. I love all of those books. I would probably not read any of them again because it would probably ruin it for me and I don't want it to be ruined. I'd rather just think of like remember the good times I had as a child and then read books that are better now.
It's interesting how even now, I mean, these books were published such a long time ago and they were very popular, but still they're making TV remakes of them. I mean, City of Bones they made a movie or two.
Two movies and a TV series.
Yeah, with different people. I was pretty sad when they finished that TV series, but yeah, it's really interesting that they still draw on those
topics and themes. Like that they can't come up with anything original, so they're just using books because they're already like written.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of money in YA because you get your young adults, but you also get a lot of adults that are still reading young adult.
I think that's definitely a thing nowadays when
for different experience.
Yeah, releasing stuff that is from like the 90s is like they can revamp it to accommodate now, like today's generation, but then everyone who was like originally watched it, who are now in their 30s, 40s, are like still going to also watch that because that's nostalgic for them and they're connected to it. It's like Avatar The Last Airbender just got a live action that just came out and like I am devouring it. I have issues with it. but I'm still
devouring. Did you have issues with that movie that they
okay,
didn't
we don't talk about the movie.
An Asian actor in it? They cast a white guy?
Yes, we don't talk about the movie. The TV series is better, yeah. But I still have problems with it. But, like, it's a whole new generation of people who are discovering Avatar The Last Airbender for the first time. Yeah. And then me, who has loved it since I was a child, getting to watch it again.
Yeah. It was also a big Pokemon era. Like, I don't know if they had novels, but the general story of Pokemon and through the cartoons and the games was so big back then. And thoroughly enjoyable. I think the other thing is that these topics, like with YA, you can make so much money out of it because you've got multiple groups interested in it. Some the older ones for nostalgia, the young ones just because they have amazing, like the cover art is amazing these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think if it just kind of comes around in a cycle. And I haven't tested that theory, but I feel like we sort of shift through vampires being really popular to zombies and dystopia and plague and then the moon getting knocked out of orbit, whatever happens to you there. And like, what's the other one? Comets hitting the Earth.
Yeah.
And then it moves around to the more fantasy stuff of angels, Greek mythology.
So it's going to come back around again, is what you're saying?
Yeah. And I feel like it...
Vampires is going to make a comeback.
Yeah.
I hope Vampires does make a comeback because I have a half-written vampire book that I would, like, get on if Vampires came back.
Yeah. Vampires will definitely come back. I mean, they've just done a remake of... It makes me feel really old when they do remakes of the super old things that I knew when I was younger. Yep. The Interview with a Vampire, they've redone that one.
Have they?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Into a TV series, I think.
Okay. Vampires need to come back. I have a great
And they're trying to remake Harry Potter, aren't they?
They are.
The movies into a TV series. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think everyone just comes back to the golden age of YA because it was so bright and sparkly and fun.
There's also so much of it. Like, there was so...
Yeah.
Like, series were more than three books. Like, you think, like, City of Bones was three books, but then it was another three books, and it was another three books. Like, there were just universes worth of books
in one. It was definitely a time where it was, like, multiple book series, quite often over three books, like, really long series. So, which is nice because it's nice to be able to... stick with the book and just know when it comes out, you're going to read it and you're going to love it.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas sometimes now when we're doing like duologies and trilogies, you're kind of like, oh, okay, we're not going to spend too long in this universe. I find it with TV as well, like shorter TV series and shorter episodes. Whereas back then.
Yeah.
That's it was true. All about long series, keeping audiences entertained.
Yeah, shorter episodes, but you'd have 24 episodes in a season. And now it's like, it's 8
it's
to
like
12.
It's like 20-minute episodes. Yeah. I hate it.
And I don't like it either. This is the issue I had with Avatar, because I think it's only 8 episodes long.
Really? There's so much story in there.
Yeah, so they had to combine so much stuff in it. Like, so things that happened over 3 episodes in 3 different locations were combined into one location with multiple characters just to, tell that part of the story. Like, it kind of works, but, like, when you're looking at it at a nostalgia point of view, like, that's not what happened. Like, I don't want you to make it into something else. I want Avatar to be a live action, like, the cartoon is just real people and it's exactly the same thing that happened, which is what I found with, like, the One Piece remake. Like, that was really, really good because they say it's so true to the source material. But
so
that's
good.
That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah. That's true.
I will rant about that for a long time.
Yeah. I think there was, probably because we were young as well, there was just this other element of sort of like sweet naivety in it. A lot of the series get really dark at the end, but they kind of start with
that's because, like, you would start reading that book when you were like you know, 13, 14. And by the time the rest of the series came out, you would be an adult. So it's like with Harry Potter. Well, it's like,
yeah.
You grow with the books. And so the authors can like make it more dark because you are not the 13-year-old kid who was reading the first book kind of thing.
Yeah, I just like to say to authors, just because you can make it dark doesn't mean you should. Because I like it. I like a good ending. I will never get over the Divergent ending, ever.
No, never, ever, ever.
Outrageous. So I'll never get over the unwind scene where that person also dies.
Oh my gosh, yes. It's so, I love it. My memory of it is beautiful and it will stay beautiful.
Yeah.
But I will never read those things again because times have changed.
Yeah, I agree.
But then it may come back around, but then the books will be different because times have changed. So you'll get back into vampires, but the vampire stories that you're telling will be so completely different to Twilight and Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, and I think that, like, culture is a lot different now and it's a lot more politically correct, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, some of the things we did in those YA books.
Yeah, not great.
And not cool. Not cool to glamorize for teenagers.
Yeah.
Is the main problem. Also is that nice. When, yeah, because you can have, you know, bad relationships, et cetera, in there, but you just have to not glamorize it.
Less so toxicity. That
people think it's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Less romanticizing toxicity. It's good that there's more...
Yeah, like if a vampire is watching you sleep, that's bad. Because he might eat you.
And forcing you to do things.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have to change your whole life just to,
And it's also nice to seeing more diversity in books now. Gender diversity.
Oh, yeah. I think it was very white, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I think of all of those books.
With, like, just token minorities.
Yeah.
As sidekicks or whatever.
Was there much in the way of queer stuff back then? I don't really think there was.
Literally, like, City of Bones, Cassandra Clare. Like, that's the only thing that I remember. Because I remember reading, you know, Alec and Mangus and being like...
Magnus.
Magnus, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Seeing their relationship.
I couldn't remember either of the names.
But yeah, I can't really think of other... Like, there might have been, but it would have been very, like, side story, minor characters, whereas, like Alec and Magnus are...
Yeah. Now they get to be main characters. Yeah.
So it's so good.
That's good.
Change.
Yeah, I suppose we think quite fondly on it because
We are also two very white women, so it was, like, targeted at us.
Yeah, and you don't seem... Yeah, you don't realise how... little variation there is in characters and people. Now there's so many stories out there.
It's great.
Minorities.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. Go read Diversely,
maybe we're in another
please.
Golden Age. Do you think we're in another Golden Age or do you think...
The Golden Age of Diversity.
Golden Age for diversity, but also I think they're pumping out books and they're looking for anything that will make money. And sometimes they're not the most amazing books.
That is true. That is true. It'll just come
But there's definitely good ones out there.
There is. Cool. So thank you for listening to another episode of Bound Together. If you like our podcast, we would love if you would leave us a review. It helps us to be seen by more people. You can find mine and Sarah's books at most online retailers if you look for Laura Catherine or Sarah Gray. You can find us both on Instagram. I am at Laura Catherine and Sarah is at Sarah Gray Write Stuff. I am also on TikTok at Laura Catherine as well. We want to thank you so much for listening to us ramble on about the past because that is what we like to do here. Thank you so much, and we will see you again next time. Bye.
Bye.